Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is a syndicated show produced in the studios of CJSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
So I really commend the people, the organizers of I Don't Know More all across the world, and also Tree Suspense Camp for raising that awareness and bringing those issues to light, because we need the truth to be told, and that's happening right now. So for that, I'm very grateful.
That's the voice of Nina Wilson. On this week's show, we speak to Nina Wilson about the I Don't Know More movement. We also interview organizer Raul Babano about a very important conference that's happening in Ottawa on the 26th and 27th of January. So stay tuned.
Someone who is also aware of the sparks of liberation in the sense of sovereign people, of being a sovereign people, are the Indigenous nations here in Canada. Throughout Canada, from coast to coast, we are hearing the cries and assertions, no longer a request, but an assertion of rights, that Indigenous people are people in their own rights, and they are here and will be recognized. I'm very privileged to be joined by Nina Wilson. She is Cree and Nakota, and we reach her in Ottawa. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi there, my name is Nina.
Thank you so much for joining us, Nina. I wanted to begin by acknowledging that most of Canadians are unaware that perhaps the land that they sit on, that their homes, it's perhaps an unceded territory. And the significance of the rights that this discourse of rights has had in alienating, you know, the rightful owners of the land, which are Indigenous people who are still here, has had. So what does the I Don't Know More movement signify for Indigenous people, or for you in your nations?
We signify the right to assert sovereignty to the land and protection and defense of the water, the land, the air. As women, we have a responsibility. We've never given consent to have our lands signed away or taken away. We have that right and that authority over land and water. And our laws and our teachings come from the woman. And in my culture, we have a woman who brought the ways of how to live well and how to live in a good way without destruction came from a woman. She brought many teachings, and so we need to go back to those. And we'll never ever live in teepees again, but we need to make sure that our young people understand those sacred laws and those ways that we had and we still have, because they are what can save this world from the destruction that's happening.
You know, when I think about remembering who we are, to me, it inspires a sense of remembering our roots, you know, what grounds us to the land, and recognizing how Mother Earth really is the mother for us all. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the way women have grounded their communities, and in spite of the repression that has been suffered by Indigenous people in this country, with the residential schools, with the, you know, continual alienation from, you know, discussions even about development that inevitably impact the ecological and the water, the air that we depend on. How do women continue to teach us and connect their communities to what matters, to this knowledge of care that you're speaking of?
I think the women are still doing that because we've all had responsibility. All of us, whether we're men or women or children or elders, we've always had responsibility. And I think what's happened is when we start to heal from some of these things that have happened to us, these things are not looked at as responsibilities, they're rather looked at as privileges and even rights. And so that in itself can be alienating. So if we look at it from a responsibility standpoint, then we all have a role there. All of us have a role there. And I know women that have taken back their communities from corruption and from some of the effects of colonization, such as gang warfare and things like that. Some women have stood up in the face of that, and lots of our women have passed on because they stood before those types of things. So we can't let those lives be in vain. We need to remember, always remember who we are, and remember that those ones that went ahead of us that maybe were taken too soon. We have a lot of women that struggle each and every day to be heard and not be silenced, because being silent is deadly. Silence is our consent, and we have been pushed to the place where we were silent, very, very silent, and no matter what we did or said, we were always seemed to be made even more silent. And so in numbers, we started to stand and say, that's enough. And, you know, we don't know what the future looks like yet. We don't know what's coming, but we have to stand because there's too many things at stake.
I wanted to tell you how moved I am by Chief Teresa Spence. And I wonder if you could talk about the way you see this, because for me it's not so much about seeing a leader, a woman leading, but rather seeing a woman who's inspiring all women to stand up and to take, in a sense, a warrior role. There are different kinds of warriors, and the way Western colonization has perceived the warriors always someone violent, but I think there is roles for peaceful warriors, there is role for healing warriors, and in many ways the women that I walk with have normally inspired that sense of being able to stand up against impunity, not necessarily by replicating or duplicating the violence that has been committed against us. I wonder if you could talk about your experience, working with Chief Teresa and the women that have come around this sacred fire. Okay. And the lessons.
Just for the record, we've never worked with Chief Spence. We respect her for her decisions and what she makes. She's doing what she's doing for her people, and I think that if anything, this has brought to the surface the issues that all of our First Nations are facing in regards to how, because what came out of the worm that came out of the can when all this started happening were the finances, the financial aspects started to come out about Attawapiskat, you know, being looked at as soaking the system for money. And then when you really had a good look at it, there are so many discrepancies there, and it shows that the federal government has not been playing fair in Attawapiskat. It hasn't lived up to its responsibilities there. And so it really revealed that it isn't necessarily that community and that leader, Chief Spence, who were being deceitful about all that. It showed that the government has such a horrible system, and that system doesn't work. It has never worked for any of us. And that's not just for Attawapiskat, that's right across any community that receives INAC funding, federal government funding. The stories are coming out now about how the funding formulas are horrific, that our people are forced to live on this small amount of the inflation rates that have gone up. They've not received anything to help them properly do the things that we're expected to do. We're looked at as burdens to society. And that's all a part of the grooming process of the federal government and other colonizers that wish to keep us viewed that way. for the public so that we don't gain any support. So I really commend the people, the organizers of I Don't Know More all across the world, and also Tree Suspense Camp for raising that awareness and bringing those issues to light, because we need the truth to be told, and that's happening right now. So for that, I'm very grateful.
How do you envision the solidarity of allies of settler people, immigrant populations who want to be in solidarity with I Don't Know More? How do you see their role?
I am very, very honored to be a part of the human family that I Don't Know More has. We've become a big family, and it's only going to get better. Things, because it's happened so fast and it's still moving very rapidly, there are things to iron out, and those things are that's slowly coming into play. As Indigenous people, we have we gravitate towards a natural sort of way of doing things, and I think that other communities and other races bring that into play too. They're also looking at their histories. They're also looking at their roles back there. I'm very pleased to be a part of this family, and I'm very grateful for the allies. We need each other. There's no other way we can save the planet, this earth, the land, the water, the air, without each other. We all need water. If you are a human being, it doesn't matter what color you are, what your class background is, how much money you have, you absolutely need water. So we need to really keep working towards saving those things. And I think our push for sovereignty can really protect that.
That's beautiful. Would you like to send a prayer as a greeting to Indigenous people in your community? You can do it in your own language if you like. We would really be grateful for that.
I would just like to say, first and foremost, that I thank the Creator of all good things that He has brought. The Creator has brought us all together. Things happen for a reason. Many of our prophecies are coming true. Many of our dreams and our hopes are coming into play. And I wanted to thank, second of all the people. This could not happen without the power of the people. The people have the power. And now the world is watching. We can't hide the things that have happened to us like it was hidden before. It's all coming out, and this is a good thing. It hurts to heal, but it's good. Thank you. I Don't Know More people. Love you.
That was Nina Wilson. She's a member of the Cree and Nakota Nations, and we reached her in Ottawa.
We'll finish our show with a very important interview with Raul Babano, who's one of the organizers hosting the General Assembly of the People's Social Forum, an event in Ottawa on January 26th and 27th. For more information about this important event, go to peoplessocialforum.webs.com.
Speaking our truth, speaking our lives, telling our stories is part of what makes us a community. It's part of what brings us together as a family. Someone who is working to not only recognize the need for community, but how we connect our communities across borders in defiance of those linear conceptions of nation, and imagine a society that's working towards an ideal of equality of justice, is my next guest, Raul Burbano. Very privileged to have you on our program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be on the show again.
Now, you are working towards a General Assembly of the Peoples, a social forum that will be taking place on January 26th in Ottawa. Tell us about this assembly. Why is this important, and what's its impetus?
So thank you. Part of, obviously, the impetus to a lot of what we're doing, we can see today in the manifestation of what's happening across Canada with austerity, the lack of democratic process that our current federal government, the Harper government, is imposing on people, that, you know, the lack of respect for the environment, for workers' rights, for community rights, and I'm talking about obviously the federal government, but also at provincial levels. And there is a real need, and we've seen it, for example, with the student movement uprising last year in 2012, and we see it again this year with the wonderful movement of Idle No More. What we're seeing is expressions of social movements who are no longer going to be idle, to use that wonderful term, in relation to what's been imposed on society as a whole. You know, Canada is just one example, but, you know, we are talking about a global crisis, environmental, economic and social crisis at an international level. But what we're seeing here in Canada is that's growing. And those wonderful expressions of resistance, of organizing, have been taking place across the country for a long time, obviously. And what many people want and feel, and I think it's important, is that how we can bring a lot of these movements together to work together. So moving the resistance, the alternatives, the voices from individual actions, be they from individuals or from individual organizations, to a more collective, where we could organize on a national scale and linking that obviously to the international, because the struggles of First Nations people, Indigenous communities in Canada, students in Canada, are similar to the struggles of Indigenous communities in Latin America, the Chilean student movement. So there's definitely a correlation. And what we're trying to do in building towards the People's Social Forum is we're proposing a sort of a grassroots horizontal approach to organizing across Canada as a means of stimulating debate, discussion. And a lot of this, the idea of forums came from Latin America. The first one was obviously in Brazil, but it comes from sort of the roots in Latin American activism around encuentros, where people came together to debate and discuss, you know, over 10 years ago. And we have seen how those processes have manifested themselves in social movements and in countries like Bolivia, Venezuela, where you see a much more participatory democracy, transparent, inclusive, obviously not perfect, but processes where people are now feel empowered and their voices are being heard, or at least a larger percentage of the voices of the population are being heard. So what we're trying to do here in Canada is sort of inspired by Latin America, create a space where the diverse and plurality of social movements that aren't beholden or that aren't indebted to, you know, large structural institutions, be they, you know, the traditional institutions that have sort of, I guess, moved forward expressions of social movements, but rather that they be autonomous and ideally that we can come together to exchange ideas, build a sense of community, a sense of trust, a sense of understanding of our mutual issues, and then, you know, the goal is to be able to move forward, ideally collectively. Not that everybody has to engage in the same issue, but dealing predominantly with regional issues, so, you know, communities that have their local issues, but how do we link the struggles of Indigenous people in Canada to racialized communities, to workers, to the student movement? There's definitely links. So the goal is how we link all those together so that we can move forward collectively. And what we're doing January 26th and 27th is just launching that process officially, working towards a social forum that would probably take place in 2014, and that's all to be determined at the launch of the social forum in January that you're mentioning.
I'm so excited to hear you speak about participatory economics. When people come together, not only do we create very successful entities and organizations that meet the needs of a larger number of people, but we can also do it better than this model of domination, of power over that we have. So can you talk a little bit about who is invited, whose voice is invited to this discussion?
So the discussion is open to everybody. There's no political parties are involved in this or are allowed to be participate. So it's an expression of, you know, community groups, NGOs, labor, Indigenous communities who have participated in the process. We're trying to get representation from a broad sector that represents, you know, the people living in Canada, but also from a regional perspective. So over the last 8 months, we've been working towards this, and what we've done is, within each region, we have expansion commissions, as we're calling them, which are local expansion commissions across the country. So in the West, in the Prairies, Toronto, Montreal, Quebec, sort of in the larger urban cities, bringing together a diverse sector of groups. For example, in Toronto, the group that we're kind of working together. together. We have labor, we have Six Nations, we have NGOs, we have, you know, community groups, whether it's migrant, African, Southeast Asian, or we have also the teachers involved, the OSSTF, Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation. And the goal is that we first start by sharing what are our challenges, what are our experiences, so we get a better understanding of each other. So, for example, we have Six Nations representation at our Toronto, and we're learning about how to be, you know, allies with Six Nations from a different perspective, so sort of a decolonization perspective, because often we may want to get involved in support, but we're not listening to the people who we're actually trying to support. So it's getting to know each other, building a sense of community locally, understanding each other's struggles, being able to link those struggles, and then engage in actions together. So whether it's supporting the student movement, whether it's supporting the labor struggles that are going on in Ontario by the teachers, or the you know, the First Nations communities, and the goal is that then we can link some of those issues, and they're very linkable to the national and the policies that are coming down by sort of a neoconservative, you know, government of austerity that's not inclusive, that's not participatory from a democratic perspective, that's not taking into account the environmental crisis in which we're living. And on top of that, it's criminalizing people who are organizing in a peaceful, democratic process to try to change that or challenge what's being imposed, with the hope that we can link it to a national, and obviously linking that to the international, the struggles of, you know, Canada's extractive industry that's being imposed in Latin America, destroying the environment, displacing communities, the struggles against the privatization of water on a global scale, the fights against the free trade agreements that are basically taking away rights of all communities and giving them over to corporations. And with that structure, is we're hoping that when we create the spaces, as kind of you just mentioned, where people can dialogue, share, we realize that there's a plethora of knowledge that we have that we're just not sharing. We have visions, we have, you know, ideas, we have solutions, and the goal is to bring all of those together in a way that we could understand, share, debate, but it all has to be done in a way that's participatory, that's respectful, that is transparent, and that allows for diversity that is not really can be controlled by a particular group or a particular institution. And so the goal, short term, is that we would create sort of common analysis, common actions, but the long-term goal is to give impetus to the social movements that already exist and link it so that we could transform this country to a more progressive country in terms of economics, political, and social, not that different that we see in countries that have done that successfully, not perfectly, but successfully in Latin America.
You know, I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because, well, for us in Canada, there has been many victories we have enjoyed and we have forgotten about it. You know, the victories of the 1920s of a labor movement that was vibrant and very capable of organizing not just workers, but also unemployed and the poor. And those victories are latent. You know, they're still there, and we just need to remember who we are, where we come from, and how we are interconnected and interdependent in one another. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how would people access information, how can people get in touch, people who may want to come to the forum, people who may not be able to attend but wants to support you financially, those kinds of questions.
So the great part is that, I mean, we're only sort of launching the formal process of the forum, and if people want to attend, they could just go on our website, which is http://peoplesocialforum.web.com, and there is all the information in terms of the location. The date is the weekend of the 26th and the 27th in Ottawa, as you mentioned, and all the details are on our website. We also have a Facebook page, but obviously not everybody will be able to attend that particular day, which really that the day of the launch of the social forum is really just bringing the diverse movements together to discuss what are some of the main themes we want the social forum to include, you know, some of the main accesses, you know, divide into some concrete working groups. But the work of the social forum will continue long after that, and that's within each region. So the representatives from the expansion commissions, as I mentioned, if people live in Vancouver, if people live in the Maritimes, there are expansion commissions in each region, and if they want to help to participate and continue to build it, then they could join those regional expansion commissions and help build it from there. whatever is set or organized or decided upon on the 26th, which is the official launch in Ottawa, is what we will be working towards. They may set a date for, you know, I guess the spring, let's say, of 2014 for the official social forum, and then we'll all work towards building that and within each region, and hopefully the success is that we'd have you know, tens of thousands of people come together, not necessarily physically in the same place. It could be done, you know, in the diverse cities, but that collectively we're working towards something. Also, at the launch, there's going to be a general kind of discussion, and it comes from a proposal of the Quebec student movement who will participate in the launch, and it's really around how to build, stronger coalition's infrastructure to help us, you know, in the struggles. So we're talking about looking at a pan-Canadian, building pan-Canadian assemblies based on regional coalitions that would be represented by local structures, so sort of assemblies type thing, that then can kind of link in on a pan-Canadian basis assembly. So really what we're trying to build is ways that people can come together and work together and coordinate going beyond an important event or an important forum. The forum in of itself is not an organization. What it does is just creates a space that can allow for organization that will go live long beyond the actual wonderful and exciting and fun events that may come out of a social forum.
Thank you so much for being with us and for taking on this task that I think very timely and very important for us to come together. In parting, what inspires you to see that social change is not only possible, but is here?
My experiences in Latin America, specifically in countries like Venezuela and Bolivia, where I've been able to witness a more sustainable and just society that serves a larger percentage of the people, where people feel more empowered and part of society. I don't see that in Canada, or I don't feel it when I talk to many people across Canada, and many people are unhappy with the status quo, but they feel disempowered. They feel that they can't make a change. When I look, you know, towards Latin America and I see countries that are historically, you know, materialistically poor, don't have the resources that we would have here in Canada, the technology, whatever that may be, but yet they've been able to transform their societies to more participatory, more inclusive societies, it makes me realize that we can do that here in Canada. And movements like, I guess, the I Don't Know More movements, the student movements, those kind of movements who provide inspiration that, yes, if we work together, we can bring a reasonable change to this country and try to make it more inclusive and just society environmentally, socially, economically, and culturally.
Thank you again for being with us, Raul. Very privileged to have you on our program.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
That was Raul Burbano, and the social forum will be held this January 26th and 27th in Ottawa.
Cambia lo superficial, cambia también lo profundo.
We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.